It's Tad and Melissa. Bobcat Goldthwait is in town at the Laughing Skull Lounge this weekend, and we just got a chance to chat with him for a little while, and we started by talking about the fact that there's a lot of pressure on us to ask him questions he hasn't heard a trillion times before.
To me, it's always funny where people go, you probably don't want me to bring this up, but what about, and it'll be like stuff that I have no problem talking about. They go, Shakes the Clown. It's like, what are you talking about? I like Shakes the Clown. I don't,
right.
You know.
I think our goal here today should be, because this would be interesting, right? Mm-hmm. Is to not ask you any questions that you've ever been asked before.
I don't think you can do it.
Let's see if how far we can go.
Go ahead.
All right. I bet you I'm going to lose on the first question.
All right.
The pronunciation of your last name.
I've been asked that.
You've been
before.
Asked about that?
Of course I have.
There's a great anxiety. Like I found whenever I talk about you, I'm just like, that comedian Bobcat.
Yeah.
You
know? And that is why I stuck with that wacky moniker all these years, because I knew people, you know, you're Bob Golden. It's usually how people pronounce it. Well, you know, the is normally silent. But, it's a hard name. I understand that. When I'm in the U.K., people can pronounce it because it's not that foreign to have a Thwait on the end of something. But it's all right. I like it. You know, it's a great way to weed out anti-Semites, because they usually think I'm Jewish, but it's a Welsh name, but it's really good.
It's Goldthwait, right?
Goldthwait. But it's okay. People mispronounce it all the time. And if I got upset about that, I would have snapped when I was 15. Yeah. I don't mind that. Bobcat Goldthwait. And Bobcat came from, I did a documentary called Call Me Lucky, and it's about a guy named Barry Crimmins, and it's his, he's a comedian. He was a mentor to a lot of comedians that you know, folks like, you know, David Cross and folks he influenced or admire him, like Patton Oswalt and Mark Maron and Bill Hicks, all these people. So Barry's like a comedian's comedian. Most people haven't heard of him. Brilliant political satirist. My favorite Barry Crimmins joke is he goes, people say, if you don't love this country, why don't you leave it? He goes, because I don't want to be victimized by its foreign policy. So a real sharp guy. Barry, as an adult, was dealing with his child abuse from a child. And when he was four, he was raped. Early in the 90s, trying to find other survivors on AOL, he found people exchanging child pornography. The police didn't do anything. The feds didn't do anything. Barry posed as a kid, got all this evidence against AOL, and took him all the way to the Senate. So I'm babbling, but that is why I was Bobcat, because when I met the guy, he introduced himself as Bearcat. And being sarcastic jerks, myself and Tom Kenny, who's the voice of SpongeBob, we've known each other since we were six. We were saying, hey, we're comedians, and we were in high school. And he goes, I'm Bearcat. And we go, oh, that's funny, I'm Bobcat. And he's Tomcat.
And that's it.
Yeah,
and
but the
are.
Joke backfired, because now I'm 53, I'm Bobcat, and he's Barry, and he's Tom. So
that's funny. There might be a lot of people that don't realize, like, you
that
know,
I'm alive.
That you're, yeah, that one. That you have done so, you've been behind the camera on so
yeah.
many things. Jimmy Kimmel, you were the director.
I directed on Jimmy Kimmel, the Chappelle Show. Directed on. There's a new show on now called Those Who Can't. I work on that show. Mark Maron's show. I've directed a lot of people's comedy specials. Yeah, I do that. I've been doing that for years.
I
make my own movies. I've actually directed seven movies in my own.
Yeah, and big, well-known movies, too.
My movies make hundreds of dollars. Let's not kid ourselves. But they don't get released. They escape. But they they find their audiences. You know, I'm so happy about digital media. You know, my movies get discovered years after they're out, and that's cool. I mean, every time I make a movie, I'm not kidding myself. I don't have any delusions. I'm making really small movies for a really small group of people. Sometimes that group of people is me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was gonna say, yeah, like, so, that movie about your friend.
Yeah, it's funny
Bearcat.
Because that movie ends up being that movie was at Sundance, and I've actually had four movies at Sundance. I sound like I'm bragging, but I'm just trying to put it in perspective.
Yeah,
because most people aren't aware that when I'm at Sundance, people will go, do you still do stand-up? Oh, like it's gauche or something. But then when I'm doing stand-up, not like at the Laughing Skull. The crowds are great, and they know me as the adult guy I am now.
Mm-hmm.
But often on the road, you know, the club will bill me as this nostalgic act. You know, it'll be like, Bobcat Goldthwait from Police Academy's coming. You know, next week, Dustin Diamond, Screech, you know. and by the way, that's 100% true. Well, I think he's in the Hooskow right now. But you know, that so I'll only have people that know me from 30 years ago in the audience. And you know, I do that. That's a job. I do it. It pays the bills, so I don't have to work on movies and TV shows and things that I don't want to. Mm-hmm. That sounds crazy, but I just don't. You know, I had the career most people have at the beginning of my career that most people have at the end of their career. Like, I sold out a lot as a young man. Now at 53, I'm not interested in being in stuff I wouldn't watch or work with people who aren't pleasant.
So you sold out. Is that another way of saying, like, you made loads and loads of money? Were you good with your...
No. I sold out meaning that I was in a lot of really crappy things, you know?
Are you sorry that you were in Police Academy?
Honestly, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, because it's just... To be in a movie that... I did three of those. It all in, I probably worked 2.5 months. And then today I'll talk to 3 to 5 people about Police Academy, which doesn't seem bad. But multiply that by 365, multiply that by 30 years. Yeah.
Stop. Enough is enough.
Like, George Gaines passed away, and he seems like a nice guy. I met him 4 times.
Right.
People are asking me to comment on this guy I met 4 times 30 years
yeah.
ago.
You know
what I mean? But the other side of that is I'm really happy with my life, and I feel really fulfilled. So if I hadn't gone down that path, I wouldn't be where I am. So, you know, I mean, like, one day I was in a van going to a set on a show I was directing, and the Teamster said, I don't know, I got to drop off this guy. If I was an actor, my nose would have got bent out of shape. What do you mean, this guy? Blah, 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 blah.
Right.
But when he said this guy and I was the director, I was like, this feels really good. I'm just some jerk in the van. And I thought of all the movies I'd been in, and I actually thought about the first day on the set of a Police Academy. I didn't even know where to stand or how to not look down the lens. You know what I mean? I didn't know anything. So I thought all those things got me to where I am, and that's just sometimes I'm just a guy.
Your persona when in doing stand-up, and you could see some of, I was watching some of your stuff from 2009 that happened to pop up on YouTube and stuff, and your voice and that whole persona. And then I was wondering what you were going to sound like, because I was thinking there's no way he can sound like he did in real life. How did that whole persona come about?
I think I started doing stand-up when I was a kid. I got on Letterman when I was 20. I was always a bigger fan of people like Andy Kaufman and Brother Theodore and Groucho Marx than I was of people than Johnny Carson. You know, I loved comedy since I was 7. By the time I was a teenager, that stuff bored me, and I was into weirdos. and my early act was just making fun of stand-up. I would go on stage and just read a Dear John letter and start crying. And then I'd go back to my act. My wife is so fat. How fat is she? I told you I don't even have a girlfriend. You know, so it was always these more conceptual pieces. Then I got on Letterman. Then I ended up being booked as a headliner, so I actually became the thing I was trying to make fun of as a younger man. You know, the thing about stand-up and stuff is, in any form of promoting yourself, there's no way that it cannot feed this crazy narcissism, because you are the product that you are promoting all the time. You are thinking about it. You get a little heat. You get people that talk about you all day, you know. It's so unhealthy. I'm so happy to make a movie because now we're talking about this movie.
Right.
We're not talking about you.
Yeah,
and it's still a big piece of me. I think people, if you want to see how I see the world, you get a way better glimpse of that when you watch a movie I make than you do when I do stand-up. Sometimes I'm able to rip it all back and get really personal up there, but most of the time I have to keep it at a certain level because, there's... You know, the thing about stand-up comedy is you have to keep the dumbest person in the room entertained, like it or not.
Well, I cannot believe. Radio shows, same thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You gotta keep the.
Yeah.
The
I'm the dumbest person in the room. <Like. laughs>
I thought you meant there's a couple of listeners out there, but that you're worried about. But in a movie, you know, the dumbest person doesn't go see a documentary about child abuse. He goes to Paul Blart too. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
So it just gets, you know. Whatever.
I think that you're the evolution of what everybody expects other people in Hollywood to be. They expect people to mature naturally and expect people to behave a certain way. So it's funny how...
Yeah, and that's why it's funny. It's like the expectations when I show up places sometimes, and it's like the disappointment that I'm not this persona that they grew up with. And that, I understand that, but I'm also like... I would have to kill myself if I was going on stage going, and then everyone cheers.
Right.
You
right.
know, if yeah. I was this nostalgia act, you know, mm-hmm. that would be horrible.
Why do you go out on the road to do stand-up? What is it? When? Because I assume that you make the decision and
yeah.
then you go out and then you go.
Well, I first started going out on the – after I left the Kimmel Show, I went back to stand-up and I thought I didn't like it. And, in fact, I thought I hated it. And then I was in Nashville at Zany's, and I was backstage, and like a light went on because I was like, no, it's not the club owners. It's not the other comedians. It's not the hecklers. It's not the radio guys. Why do I hate? I was like, oh, you hate this persona. So that night at Zany's in Nashville, I said, if I'm going to do this, I got to go. So I went out without the persona and was myself. So that was a decision made on a single night. And then once that happened, I realized that I do like stand-up again. It's a great job. It pays my bills. I'm 53. I have roommates. I rent. It's all coming together. This is my year. But I do on purpose. On purpose, I live a very, very, very modest lifestyle. So I, this week, I'm currently walking away from a $30 million movie that I was asked to direct because it just doesn't feel good. No, no one else.
Now, can you
show
just
business
give, can
would
you put
do that.
My name in just to
yeah,
surpass
yeah.
it? I'll do anything.
But that's a true story, and it's just
wow.
because I was like, I go, this doesn't feel good, you know. And it was really funny because I found myself going saying, I said this and I wish I could have taken it back. I go, I don't feel like I'm being respected. I'm going, oh my God, you're talking like you're on a reality show.
Right.
The other question I was going to ask about just like being, you know, putting yourself out there, you being the product is, do you think that you have thin or thick skin for that?
One of the biggest fears people have, that's getting up on stage. Getting heckled. You know, I jokingly, you know, I open for Nirvana, so it's like if someone's yelling and trying to hurt my feelings, that's nothing like having someone throw a lit M80 at your head or getting hit with a teenager. You know, they successfully threw someone out of the pit and hit me. So what a comedian deals with, like I think people think when they think a heckler, they think someone going, you suck, and he's sober. But hecklers usually are just people who are just talking and are drunk and they're interrupting the flow of the show. So you get frustrated because you're trying to do a show for the rest of the folks. So your thoughts are being interrupted. So that's annoying.
Mm-hmm.
Last weekend I was waiting to go on and there's just this table in the front and they're just drunk and they just everything the comedian in front of me said they had to mumble something or yell something or talk and this and that, and they're just too drunk to participate. And I went on stage, and I hadn't had this thought before. I said, doing stand-up is a play. And when you go see a play, the audience is actually kind of like voyeurs. They're peeping Toms. They don't exist. I said, but that's not what it's like when you go see stand-up. You're actually part of the cast. You are the other part of the show. So when you walk out on stage, and just think if you were in a play and you walked out and you said your first line and then the person in the play with you is drunk, you go, oh, this is going to be hard.
Right,
this is going
right,
to be a
right.
rough show. And that's exactly like what it is with like hecklers and stuff. For the most part, you know, sometimes, you know, I've had people try to, just recently in Denver, a guy tried to punch me. But, you know, I mean, it's... I'm just too old. Like they don't hurt my feelings, and sometimes there's been a few times where I've bombed recently, where I said, you know what, I'm not going to switch up my act. Again, like what I was saying, it's like, I'm not, these people aren't here for me, and I don't want to hang out. I was in Aspen, and it's just horrible, you know, those people. They're filthy rich. They're those, you know, they're Eagles fans. You know what I mean? They're like really rich, and they think smoking pot is the most dangerous, cool thing, and they're just snobs and detached. And they hated me, and I hated them. And finally, I just said, "You people are why Hunter S. Thompson shot himself in the face."
Oh, you know,
because so, I was on stage, I go, "I can't believe Hunter S. Thompson lived in this crap hole."
So is that the only place you won't play? Like you won't go back to Aspen?
I probably would not go back to Aspen, but I'll go back to every other place. I just didn't, you know. I don't know if you've been to Aspen, but it's actual billionaires millionaires and billionaires that live there, and everybody that's in any kind of service industry, any side of the service industry. If you work in a restaurant, you don't live in Aspen. You drive an hour in, you know. Mm-hmm. So,
right.
So it's really
classist, very like,
yeah, it's horrible.
Upstairs, downstairs.
I will never go to Aspen either. Thank you for that. You saved me. Let's talk about your show, Laughing Skull.
Laughing Skull. Go see the meanderings of a 53-year-old curmudgeon. Listen to me complain about my diamond shoes being too tight. I just didn't feel that this $30 billion film lived up to my standards. Blah, blah,
so
blah.
So very good. Oh. And just a real quick review of our job on a 10 scale.
I think your goal was achieved. I think we did talk about a lot of stuff I don't normally talk about.
Really? Nice. All right.
Yeah.
So
yes.
We did it.
It took us a little while. We got there, though. That's
absolutely
awesome.
It was good.
Were you comfortable? Did you feel good?
Oh, yeah.
Will you come back when you're back in Atlanta?
Don't make him gush.
Okay, sorry.
He's already given us high marks.
Don't sell past the yes.
I did enjoy myself. You guys won't be in my act. I won't be going,
stupid radio people.
Yeah, I don't know why they didn't. I didn't have to do taint and teabag this morning. You know, so I really dodged a bullet.
Thank you very much. Bobcat Goldthwait.
Yeah, there you go. You
very
killed
nice,
it.
Ted.
Listen, we learn every day. Thank you very much.
Thank
you're
you
awesome.
Thank you guys so much. Show times?
Friday, Saturday, it's 8 and 10:30. Sunday, 7.
Oh, you can't do a second show on Sunday? You're too good for us?
Yeah.